Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 28 of Off Color Cast. We are a segmented podcast that likes to discuss the aggressive, the awesome, and the serious of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris. I play this game, and I'm stupid. Let's say hey to everybody else who's less stupid. Hey, Cassidy, why don't you say hi to them childrens that listen to us?
Hey, them childrens, how's it going? I don't really have nothing new to say, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the articles on TCG Player. Besides that, we got some more guests and stuff, so no one wants to hear my shit, so yeah, go ahead.
We're gonna make the guests carry everything. So, Calvin, I guess you're next. Why don't you say hello?
Hey, everybody, it's Calvin, also known as Captain Regin on the internet. If you're listening to this, it's episode 28. I don't really know of any mathematical numbers that I can divide this up into weeks, so still, take your ass back and listen to the other 27 episodes of Off Color Cast. And while you're at the website, you know, listen to and read the other articles that's up there by my man John and by Jason.
Yeah. Speaking of Jason, he's not on that Four Guys Who Play Magic podcast, is he?
I don't know.
Because I noticed they've been talking some shit to specifically me.
Yeah, really?
I've been in the inbox. I saw it. We're now at war with those guys. Apparently, I didn't talk about the guy's Edric deck, and I just went like blah 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 or something. What? And that was apparently a declaration of war. So, Four Guys Who Play Magic podcast, we are now at war with you.
Sure. Well, technically, Chris is now at war with you.
No,
he invited me and Cassidy to come on their show.
Oh, whatever. Fuck y'all. All right, but enough of that nonsense there. We do have a guest. I really started this show because I wanted to get people that weren't on podcasts ever onto podcasts, and I'm pretty sure nobody's heard this guy. So let's say hello to Luis.
Hey, y'all, it's Luis.
Okay, Luis.
Well,
way to make us sound like assholes for the last couple.
I accept Luis as well. It's Luis. Spanish. I go by Luis. Def Beats everywhere on the internet, and I'd like to draw. That's it.
Remember when Calvin kept saying Lewis and we corrected him?
Yeah. Yep, I do.
Okay, but enough of that. Bam.
Who's the beats now? All right, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone.
We come for you. Swag. We take what we want.
Into the red zone.
Swag. We come for you. Swag. We take what we want.
Into the red zone. All right, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on the internet. And if you're listening to this, this is actually the first Into the Red Zone you guys have probably heard in a long while. Why? Because I personally am very fucking lazy. And I'm going to admit to it right here, right now. And since I'm going to admit to being lazy, we're going to go ahead and start on the last two of the seven deadly sins that I started. I don't remember how fucking long ago. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about procrastination, of course, because you know what? Hey, it seems to be the perfect sin to go with, because seeing as how we haven't actually done these in a while. So, with procrastination, one of the main problems with this particular sin is the fact that when you actually end up going into your EDH games, a lot of people have a tendency to procrastinate or hold on to spells, hold on to abilities that they could be using to actually win games, but they choose not to do it for one reason or another. Kind of like just sitting out and waiting out because they're kind of afraid maybe to see what the next card's going to be. Maybe they're afraid what the next tactic is going to happen to be. It's going to mess around and potentially, you know, cause them to lose the game. Maybe they play their mind rot too early, their counterspell one turn too late. But the end result is that if you procrastinate, you have a tendency to lose just because of the fact you didn't get a chance to play your actual game. You spend most of your time just sitting at the table staring at the people that's there. So seeing as how we are going to be discussing procrastination, one of the main things I want to talk about as far as procrastination is concerned is the usage of spells. Right now, our next segment, should I talk about that right now or should I just like ignore that?
You can mention that it exists. It's okay.
All right. So our next segment is actually going to end up being about the usage of a particular ability known as land destruction or LD around the internet.
Yeah.
This wasn't
procrastination.
Yeah, actually, what I was going to talk about was the procrastination of holding a spell.
Yeah, we could just do procrastination later, right?
Counter spells. Yeah, to completely avoid the fact that I might actually completely erase an entire segment of this show, I'm going to stop talking about land destruction now. Counterspells. Yeah, so people have a tendency to hold on to counterspells. Take everything I was saying a second ago and pretend that I was talking about countering a spell or a creature that someone plays. Nobody likes having their creature played or countered or, like, you know, when they actually try to get it out, they mess around like, oh, look, it's been exiled because you decided to play Mindbreak Trap. But in the same token, it is a part of the game. But the main problem that a lot of players that have, that even like myself, that I know that I have, is when I actually am playing with, like, a particular deck that has counterspells in it, I have a tendency not to play them. Mainly because I'll have them in hand, and my main fear is that I'm always afraid that I'm going to try to play them, mess around and counter somebody's three-drop creature, and then next turn they're going to ramp into something, and next thing I know I'm going to see a fucking Consecrated Sphinx. And now I'm thinking to myself, maybe if I've only held on to that counterspell a little bit longer, I could have taken care of that. And then sometimes I see the Consecrated Sphinx, and I'm like, well, that's good, but I'm not going to use it on that, because there's probably an Eldrazi that's not Emrakul, because he's banned, coming down sometime soon.
Well, yeah, and I mean, why counter the Consecrated Sphinx when you can just counter all the fucking cards it'll draw, right?
I've actually, but I'll play spells late, and then, like, I'll act like I top decked it, so I don't look like a moron.
You gotta shuffle your hand around a little so they don't know it's the one you just drew.
Well, playing online, it's not as bad, because I'm like, finally. I'll be like, oh man, that really saved me. What if I had just cast it, like, two turns earlier?
Just scream top deck when you play it, even though you've been holding it since, like, the first turn. I mean, when it comes to counterspells, it is a good idea to hold on to them, because, you know, if they're not going to win or, like, take really advantage of the board from the counterspell, you only have so many counterspells, you know what I mean? That's just been my... Not even playing counterspells, but just getting blown out. Like my brother will just hold on to his counterspells and be like, oh, right, I'm fine. And I'll play the big card to win, and he's just like, counter, that was fun. I'm like, no, fuck you. So it definitely works against me.
No, why would you do that to my Omnath? I just built up the mana. No, why?
I don't know. I only run... I've learned that I tend to run too many counter non-creature spell counter spells. Because I'll be holding a negate, and then and most of the backbreaking plays aren't non-creature spells anymore.
Yeah, they're all like acidic slimes, like, and Primeval Titans.
I'm like waiting for the tooth and nail. Once that tooth and nail comes down, I'm ready.
That does actually bring up an interesting point. When was the last time I've actually saw a tooth and nail?
I barely ever see any. I play in a really closed group.
I have it in my deck, but I mean, I've taken out, like, all the big creatures, so now at this point it's just like, oh, I tooth and nail for Oracle and Seedborn Muse.
Yeah, I was playing an Azusa deck yesterday, and, like, I saw, like, 9 mana or something tap. I'm like, finally, a tooth and nail. No, it was a Genesis Wave.
That's still pretty good. I like Genesis
Wave. Why wouldn't you counter that?
I didn't have a counter at the time.
Oh.
I put together Bug Rats.
Oh, I heard of that one.
So
before.
I don't think it has any counters in it. I might add, like, negate.
Please,
is that Damia?
No, I'm running a Mimeoplasm.
Oh, okay.
So that I can, you know, turn the Mimeoplasm into a Relentless Rat if I need to.
Yeah, and the Pack Rats are coming out soon, right?
Yeah, Pack Rat's going to be awesome.
Yeah, card's going to be so sweet.
Yeah, I love that card already.
Yeah. So, to get back on point, I suppose, when it comes to procrastinating with myself, usually I'm doing it to kind of seem under the radar. Like, I played a game in a tournament recently against some family members, especially my brother's Felagriff deck, which, I mean, like, he dropped Rhystic Study, you know, pretty fast. So, like, when someone else is doing a lot of shit like that, like, you know, you can kind of, like, keep back a little bit and just totally make it so no one's concerned with your deck at all, you know? So that's what I do when it's procrastinating, but I'm not really sure if, like, holding it back on purpose counts as procrastinating. Usually procrastination is just, like, a lazy factor, right? Like, I mean, being a good Magic player and, like, countering, like, the best spell doesn't seem like procrastination, you know? I think when it comes to procrastination, for me, it's mostly I just forget to do things. Or, like, I want to see what happens so I won't win the game. Other than that, like, yeah, I don't really think that counts as procrastination, being good at Magic. That just seems the opposite.
Well, for me, the reason I'm bringing up, like, procrastination counterspells is because in my mind, I think of whenever I think of procrastination counterspells, is the first thing that always causes me to, like, want to take more time thinking about whether or not I want to play this spell or now to counter something.
Oh, okay, I see, sure.
And for me personally, the main reason why it always ends up being an issue is, like, Okay, like say with a Doomblade, right? I can always Doomblade a creature as long as, like, you know, the creature's on the board. I always have the option to do it. So even if I choose to do it later on or do it now or do it, like, two turns from now, I can always have the option to do it. But whereas with a counter spell, once that creature hits the board, unless I can figure out a way to get it back on the stack, there's nothing I can do. So a counter spell in my hand always feels to me to be more valuable than a murder or a damnation or a wrath, because I have to use it now or think of a time later on where I might actually want to use it more. And the next thing I know, I'm holding on to it because I'm like, okay, I'm holding on to this because even though that acidic slime is very dangerous, I'd rather just let it resolve and potentially let it blow up somebody else's land and hold on to my mana leak. But then next thing I know, it blows up like the one blue land that I had available.
How about like if you have a kill spell, but then a really sweet creature you want to cast too, and you're like, ooh, I can let this Seedborn Muse live till I untap again. And then they've taken four turns since they're taking turns on everybody else's turn too. And they've rolled themselves out to such an advantage that you're not going to be able to catch up, even if you do blow up their Seedborn Muse then.
That's the worst thing ever.
I cannot attest to if I have done that or not. But casting sweet dudes is way more fun than casting spells to blow stuff up.
Oh, I'll agree with you there, but like, I play with like three really specific friends of mine, and one of them has a deck, Airtie the Corrupted, there we go. I know as soon as he casts Shroom, we have to kill it, or we're all buttfucked. So I always, if I'm playing blue, I always try to hold a counter spell for a few specific spells that my friends play. Otherwise, I just let everything go.
In that particular instance, and I can fully understand where you're coming from, Luis, because you actually have That's the option fine. To hold on to it because you know what you're going to be going up against. And in a tight-knit playgroup, you know, like that's the kind of thing where it just becomes like, do you know the people you're playing? But let's say, for instance, your friend decides he wants to change his deck up and he decides, you know what, Shroom is cool, but every time I play it, she gets countered. So I'm just going to take her out. And now you're sitting there with a counter spell. You're waiting for Shroom to drop. You know he's going to tutor up Shroom, but it never happens.
Oh my God, that's the worst.
This sounds like it's just a Shroom deck with Urtai the Corrupted clothing.
That's
on.
What I told him before. I said, your Urtai deck is just a freaking Shroom deck with a mask on. That's what it is.
I like doing sneaky things like that. Not the further tangent things, but I made Hunding Gjornarsson.
What the?
Hunding Gjornarsson Voltron. Because, you know, he's got Rampage, so that's sweet. So all it is a bunch of equipment, but then I also sneakily have Kemba and Raksha Gold Cub in there, who really wow. benefit from the equipment a lot more than Hunding Gjornarsson does.
That is the coolest art I've ever seen.
Chris.
Are those moons?
So wait a second, let me get this straight. You're actually using Rampage, Chris?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's only Rampage 1, too.
How many times do you have to explain that fucking shit, dude?
Well, I don't actually. I haven't really cast Hunding himself that often, and even when I have,
or
I don't think
ever.
He's ever really attacked.
Someone's like, "What's Rampage?" And you're like, "Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Are you gonna block him with more than one guy?"
Yeah.
Let me know if you're gonna double block him.
Yeah.
All right, Calvin, you want to sum up the procrastination station for us here?
Okay, then. Well, we've actually gotten a chance to go over procrastination and, like, various reasons why we personally actually end up, like, holding on to spells or try to procrastinate a little bit in EDH. But one of the main things that I can honestly say here is that when it comes to procrastination, the only real way to actually deal with it is just either, one, play stuff that you know that you're going to play, whether you like it or not. Like, you know, creatures that you know that, like, once you have them, you're just going to play them because they're awesome. Or maybe, like, you know, take the counter spells out your deck if you're not going to be the kind of person, like, if you're the kind of person like myself and you don't know what to counter, just get rid of most of them. Because, you know, they just end up being dead cards in your hand anyway most of the time, for me. Because I'd prefer to just have a Doomblade or a Wrath of God or something other than that I actually know I can use. So even when I do procrastinate a bit, I actually can try to make up for it later on by just saying, fuck it, and just, you know, play my cards.
All right, kids, if you've got your own little procrastination stories, or if you disagree with what we think procrastination is, nobody do that. Why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Hey, gang. Last year, if you recall, Andy over at CommanderCast did his Gifts Given charity drive. A lot of us donated cards, time, or money, and it was a great success. This time around, he is offering CommanderCast apparel, where any money over production will again be donated to charity. You can order a CommanderCast t-shirt or sweatshirt in a variety of colors and styles up until Sunday, September 30th, 2012. So if you downloaded the show for this week, you still have time. For information on ordering, head over to commandercast.com/gifts-given-charity-drive-2012. Yeah, that is a bit of a mouthful. You can also just Google CommanderCast Gifts Given 2012, and there will also be a link in the show notes. I know money is tight for a lot of us, but if you have a little extra and would also like a baller-ass shirt, be sure to check it out. Now it's time for Cassidy's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
All right, so this week on the Audacity, we are going to talk about something it's not really usually in my wheelhouse because it's actually an actual game mechanic, but we're going to talk about land destruction. It's oft maligned, this land destruction, but honestly, I use a bit of it. My acidic slimes are usually destroying land, so like a more universal card being used actively for land destruction. So there's a lot of times where you have to blow up a land. You know, the Realms just came out. I don't know how many people actually support that shit. There's some lands you gotta blow up, or else you're gonna lose, and that's just the way it is.
Like Desert.
Yeah. Oh man. Don't even get me started on Desert.
Shivan Gorge. Actually, I want to get the From the Vault Shivan Gorge. I don't want the rest of it. I just want that.
Well, they're about the same price as the regular card, so I'm sure you can score for like 50 cents if I.
Because they're so good.
From the Vault Desert right now.
Let's find out.
Yeah, you're gonna
be good in Hirobi, right?
Well, everything's good in Hirobi.
I guess since we got a little bit into it, talking about the acidic slime, there's also, of course, like more targeted land destruction, like Stone Rain. But they really haven't printed too much of that lately, and a lot of the older cards that facilitate it aren't as powerful. Like, you know, we have Avalanche Riders and stuff like that. I guess the Realm Razor's pretty fucking baller when it comes to land. And he's more recent, I believe, like Conflux or some shit. But either way, people don't like land destruction, and I guess it does kind of make sense. People don't like to not play the game, and like while I do think that a little bit of land destruction is okay, like gearing your deck just to make it so other people don't play, you might as well be just playing Stasis, and no one plays Stasis decks, you know? If someone sits down to play Stasis, you're just like, fuck you, get a different deck, you know what I mean?
I would build a Stasis deck.
I'd slap their deck.
Yeah, exactly. Triplet Stasis.
I think when you're running land destruction, the best way to keep everyone like it, especially if it's a group that really doesn't like it, try to take as few asymmetrical approaches to land destruction as you can. Like if you're blowing up every land, or you know something like Ruination where you're blowing up all non-basics, I mean that's just beating up the rich guy, so no one's going to care about that. But if you're doing like Azusa, Crucible, Strip Mine, and just like slowly grinding away everybody else's mana base, and you're sitting there with like a billion lands, people are gonna hate you a little bit more than if you would just cast like Geddon or something.
The card I've been liking a lot lately is actually Monvali Acid Moss. That's kind of like a little microcosm of what you were talking about. You fuck up a land and then you go get one of your own lands. But I think in that way, because it's just like a one off spell, and it's not any Strip Mine Crucible bullshit, because oh god, and throw exploration into that, and you're just like, fuck you, stop playing lands, asshole. You know? Actually, yeah, that happens to me a lot. So.
That's another thing, like, just like a sinkhole or something, you usually isn't going to cut it so much for your deck. You really want your LD to be on something that's going to do something else for you, too.
Something like Army Ants.
Yes.
And Reap and Sow from Mirrodin.
Oh, I love Reap and Sow.
Yeah. Reap and Sow. I used to play it in my Wart deck, and I was like, oh, let's get rid of that Mystifying Maze and, you know, something relevant.
I'd also say, just to, like, not be a dick, I would also stay away from, like, the color-hosing LD cards, like Boil. Unless, of course, you have, like, Stormtide Leviathan out. Then go ahead and cast your Boil all you want.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say, all of them except Boil, because, you know, no one wants islands, right? I used to play it in my Kalia deck to Sunforger it.
Well, if you're playing with the same guys over and over and over, and you're like, all right, blue guy, you know that I've got a Boil in here. Build build as if I have it. That's a little different than coming to with like three like 8-year-olds playing and be like, you guys have islands, right? And then you side in all your boils and like the sorcery speed boil.
And choke. Islands don't untap.
But Kelvin, you love being aggressive, and the best part of any aggro deck is the LD you run. What do you think of land destruction?
I personally think that land destruction is perfectly fine. Most of my decks actually have at least like a couple pieces of it, like a Tech Edge, Ghostly Council. Ghost Quarters. And if I'm playing black, I'll even play something like Helldozer just because I can actually use it yes. multiple times.
Helldozer.
I just put Helldozer into Karavec today.
Yeah.
Helldozer is so fucking sweet. Just the simple fact that, like, if you destroy a non-basic with that bad boy, you get the option to 10 tap him again and blow up another one. And then if you blow up a second non-basic, you basically paid his mana cost, blew up two lands, and then you still have 6/5 to swing with.
In Karavec, I've learned that unless I'm running, like, Coffers and Urborg to even be able to use Helldozer. Helldozer's like black mana, you got that, right? I'm like, I got a little bit. He's like, fuck you, no, I need a lot.
Yeah.
Hate all of it.
More.
The main reason I go with Helldozer a lot is because he's in my zombie deck with Belthor that I was talking about last week. And with that deck, it's like, you know, the main goal for it is to get to 7 mana, dump as much cards in my graveyard as I can in the process of getting from here to 7 mana. And once I get to 7 black mana in that deck, I've got enough to be able to activate Helldozer at least twice. He's actually pretty good.
I think I'm in like the 1% of EDH players who have, besides personally using it a few times, I've never seen anyone else use it. Almost
not even like Tectonic Edge or Ghost Quarter and stuff?
Oh, well, yeah, those, I guess so. Like, I consider those more like removal for pinpoint lands, because like when I think of land destruction, I think of like
Armageddon.
Go big, go home, like Armageddon, Ruination, Wake of Destruction. Yeah, Jockle Hops. Like, and then I think of like things like Tectonic Edge, the Acid Moss, the Reap, and so I just think of those as like pinpoint removal. Like, I'm not just going to blow this on a forest. I'm going to save it for like a really specific land that's just bugging the hell out of me.
It's always Maze of Ith.
That mono red
yeah. yeah, Maze of Ith. They should just print cards that say destroy target Maze of Ith.
Okay, yeah. I think that's actually a pretty good way to look at it because I agree. I don't use Ruination very often, mostly just because I like non-basic lands. And I have an Armageddon signed by Richard Garfield that I don't use just because, it's like the one card, it's like, I don't think I want to use Armageddon. Well, even though it's awesome.
Ooh, I do have one story. Actually, in my first game of EDH ever, I was playing at school, and someone's like, here, use this Zedru deck. And I'm like, what the hell? I want to give people my things? That's not what I want to do in Magic. That sounds terrible. And I eventually drew an Armageddon, and I was like, oh, I'll play this. And I completely ruined the game.
That's another big thing. It's all like, and things like Obliterate fits into this, too. If you're going to run like the Geddens and whatnot, you got to sculpt the game state to where it's going to be really in your favor, where you're really just adding like 4 or 5 turns to the game.
Especially if someone casts Geddon when they're behind to not lose. And it not even 4 turns added to the game. Like, this basically makes the game take another hour.
Yeah.
You know, I played games like that, and, like, that's the big thing about... That's actually pretty much my original argument, like, when I talked about this in the past, is that just too many fucking idiots playing Armageddon. Like, Ruination's not as bad, because, like, it doesn't destroy your major mana base unless you've got a really, really greedy deck, and in that case, it's funny, you know, we kind of talked about fucking over the fat, greedy guy. But, I mean, like, an Armageddon when, like, you're behind and you just want to make it so your opponent doesn't win. It's like, dude.
You're just the worst.
If I'm about to lose, I've sandbagged cards so that I can just get out of the game. And an LD card like that would definitely fit in the list of cards I would sandbag to not prolong the game that I'm just going to lose anyway.
Right, exactly.
And there's also other... I mean, if your group really hates on land destruction... You can show them what your other options are if you start casting like Blood Moons, or if you decide that Contamination Lock is something that might get people to start letting LD go through.
Yeah, or like some Mana Barbs craziness and shit.
Yeah.
And Mana Web for control players. Screw those guys.
You could always play Devastation against the token players. I mean, you know, get a chance to ping all those creatures for one.
But
and
like,
you get a chance to, you know, blow at least one land up out the way.
But like we've all said, And, you know, it's been said everywhere, especially, like, I think that's one of the things where us and that other EDH show that we won't talk about really agree, is that we both think that LD is perfectly fine. If you take one part out of the magic microcosm, something else is going to be able to run rampant. And don't you get sick of seeing all those green decks with a billion lands out?
No.
Yeah.
When you're not playing them.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I mean, that's the best way. That's one of the reasons Primetime is such a big deal, because he searches for land and no one has land destruction, even though it's pretty readily available. I mean, it's harder to destroy enchantments in like a red-black deck than it is to destroy lands in any color deck, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you see a guy playing three visits, that means that you should have a land destruction in your deck. That's how I feel about it.
Oh man, what the heck is that? That's a Portals card, right?
Yeah. It's just like it's a Portal rampant growth, essentially. I mean, if they're running enough ramp spells for three visits to be in there,
why would you want to pay $22 for that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a forest.
Yeah, but there's people who, I've seen it. Like, you know, they have so many ramp spells in their deck that they go to three visits for their next one.
Wow.
And that's somebody that you should be running LD against.
Also, there's one card that we didn't really talk about, which is the opposite of land destruction. Boundless Realms, that's what it's called.
Boundless Realms.
Yes, thanks. Boundless Realms. So, Boundless Realms basically is like, take all your X lands and then put X more into play. It's so stupidly easy to cast this early at, like, with a Mana Vault and just ramp the hell out. When they keep printing cards like this, like, it just gets more and more imperative that you have something to deal with it, because like, I play against my brother's Maelstrom Wanderer deck a lot, and once he casts that, it's just like, he's going to cascade at least like 10 times in the next coming turns, and I can't do anything about it because he has enough to play the general tax over and over again because of the fucking Boundless Realms.
Yeah. Boundless Realms is a pretty whack card. And if you've noticed, the LD cards that have been coming out have not been up to par with what they used to do.
Oh, hell no. Like,
well, except for Into the Maw of Hell.
Yeah, that was baller.
Like, all the land destruction we see now is, like, red for converted mana cost, land or artifact stuff that's, like, really not playable. I don't think it is.
Like, even, what was it, the closest thing we had to, like, a good, like, land sweeper was Destructive Force. The one that was, like,
yeah, like the five seven wildfire. Mana.
It's like the wildfire, but it does like five lands and five damage to all the creatures.
Oh yeah, Destructive Force. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was M11. So that was pretty recently. I do remember playing against that card in like FNM and stuff.
Yeah, but still, that was like what, 2 years ago. Since then,
and it was seven mana.
Two years, seven mana. I mean, granted, it did get five lands, but you know, at that time, like, you know, we did have Titans.
That's how I got my ass kicked in Frost and Inferno Titans and Destructive Force. Like, oh, that was fun.
Okay, so we all know that LD is pretty useful. If you guys have different ways that you play LD at home, or if you don't like it and you just want to talk about it, why not email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com?
I got one more land destruction thing I forgot to say.
All right, what is it?
Playing Epicenter in an Iv Half-Art deck is the best thing ever. Float mana, sack your lands, play Epicenter, money falls from the sky.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Like, yeah.
It says four colorless red, target player sacks a land, and if you have Threshold, which after you sacrifice your mountains, I hope you do, all players sacrifice all lands instead. And that's now suddenly you have a million goblins and no one can do anything.
I just love that, like, the Threshold. Usually Threshold's, like, double the effect, right?
Yeah.
This is, like, goes from Stone Rain to fucking kill everything!
It is pretty badass.
But you could combine that with Ib and sacrifice the rest of your mountains off.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, that way you can make sure you have fucking Threshold by the time that goes off.
Yeah, that's what he said. Where you been?
I'm sitting here playing with a baby. I came back and I heard the card, and I was like, ooh, Ib. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Except the card.
You know what would be great with Epicenter? Fucking Ib Half-Heart.
Oh my man, I don't even know. I don't know if I can comprehend this. Okay, Could you imagine if you could mix all three of those things into one thing? Well, lucky for you, our boy Gudongs went ahead and created the 2112 theme deck over at Commander Cast. In fact, I bet you haven't even read it yet. So why not go on down to commandercast.com/JTN07. Again, that is commandercast.com/JulietTangoNovember07.
Hey, so this is going to be my segment on comparing card database websites. So as someone who uses magiccards.info, like ever since he started playing, nothing else really compares to it. But for this segment, I started looking at Gatherer, and I saw that that one's pretty good too. Like, honestly, I don't know anyone who uses Gatherer. All my friends use Magic Cards.
I use Gatherer, damn it.
Oh, well. I see why now. It's actually a lot better than magiccards.info, in my opinion.
Oh, don't let Patchin hear you say that.
Oh, whoops. I wrote down, like, a few pros and cons. Gatherer has defined card legality, like, they're showing formats I didn't even know existed. Like, magiccards.info has, like, standard, legacy, vintage, commander. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that recently. Pretty cool shit.
Like, all in all, it's just way more detailed than I could have imagined. Like, you got comments, you got in-depth information about the cards. It actually has pretty little mana symbols instead of, like, white for or W for white or blue. There's ratings.
The comments sections are great. Especially for two cards. One of those is Stormcrow, and the other one is Chimney Imp.
And we're going to gather for this?
Yeah, those two cards have the best comment sections around. Because, of course,
I've seen those before, yeah. And it's hilarious.
Obviously, those two cards are the most broken cards in Magic history. Because I think Chimney Imp's probably half a star.
Stormcrow has 4.25.
Oh, Chimney Imp's up to 3.
I read the whole story is right there as the first comment. Should be a dual deck versus Chimney Imp versus Stormcrow. Like, oh, this is like one of those Chuck Norris type things, right?
The only thing is that using the color search and Gatherer can get a little wacky. Like, if you're going to search for, like, a 2 or 3 color legend, you're usually going to get the 5 color ones in there, too.
Oh, ew.
Which is, and, you know, there's ways you can get around it, but it's just too much of a pain. The advanced setup can take a little getting used to, and it's a little wonky from time to time. From what I've heard from other people, magiccards.info is usually is an easier search. It's more seamless. Yeah. The special character letters and stuff, like El Hijaj has a really weird name and stuff like that. So if you just search that and gather, it doesn't come through. I think in Magic Cards is a little more forgiving on that sort of thing.
Actually, it'll also search foreign cards for instances of the word. So, like, you'll just be like, what? This card is that word? Oh, yeah. German. Okay.
And that's where I learned that I need a German Urza's Rage, because it says Urza's Zorn on it. Honestly, I use Gatherer a lot just because Gatherer has the random card button, which is pretty much the greatest thing on Earth.
So does .info.
Does it? I don't even know where it is. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's at the very top.
Magiccards.info shows every version of a card without you having to click anywhere. You can search by artist on .info, which is the only search that I really like doing on there. Because that way you can see, like, all your favorite creepo artists and every single card they've done. Or if you really want to hate on the Foglios, you can search their name and be like, man, these cards are all shit.
Yeah, you could do that in .info.
Yeah, Gatherer you can.
Oh.
I don't think you can search by artist in Gatherer. Let me check. Just to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There it is.
It's in advance.
I think the big difference between the two for me is the price from TCG Player on the top. I mean, like,
why don't you whore the site out a little bit?
Well, no, I mean, actually, that was one of the reasons I was kind of excited to work for TCG Player, was because they, like, have prices on the fucking magiccards.info, which, you know, like Lewis was talking about, I've been visiting this shit since the beginning, and, like, I didn't know about the Gatherer until you guys were like, check out the Gatherer, and I'm like, what the, the fuck is the Gatherer? I use magiccards.info, dumbass. totally got Spinal Embrace, by the way, in the random card, so that's pretty awesome. I don't really like the Gatherer seems to, like, be easier to search specific things for me. Just, like, little words and searching for subtypes seems to be easier just because, like, It's a little bit more built into the Magic system. Like, it's from, you know, actual Wizards. So it seems like they have like their shit together when it comes to that. So it's kind of a toss-up. Mostly the fact that the prices are right there and easy to search out, I think, is the greatest thing.
And that print proxy link?
Yeah. I've never actually used that, but I've seen people use it. That's probably – I've never even thought about it. That's probably where people get all those things, huh?
I've used it. I've gone to school and printed out, like, pages of proxies.
I've just been good
use of school.
I've just been using my my fucking Innistrad flip checklist and just writing on it. I had those as planes because I couldn't find any for a while. It was awesome.
I swear the things people proxy the most are lands. Because they're like, fuck, really? I don't have any planes. I'm going to proxy a planes with a real guard.
That sounds ridiculous.
I've seen it. But when we talk on the show, Calvin and Cassidy usually tend to look up cards on Cockatrice.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing that I really know about Cockatrice is if you search for the second word in a card name, it won't find it with the basic search.
She's lazy as hell.
Yeah, it's not a good search function, but if you know the full name, it's the fastest way to get it, because it's just like, pulls it up, you don't have to hit the enter and be like, oh, I got it wrong again, how do I fix it, you know. I also use Card Vault, too. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. I mostly got into the company because they made this program called Army Builder, which I thought was awesome for Warhammer and shit. So I just like kind of use this Card Vault system a little bit. And it's got a really good search function in that you can, it's got all the tribes listed out, and you can like click wizard and it'll just search the wizards and stuff. But it doesn't update with Oracle. So searching for legends is just the biggest fucking pain in the ass. I've started using the Gatherer instead. Of those programs, like, you know, Cockatrice and stuff like that, because, I get stuff wrong in my articles a lot, so having the fucking Oracle every time I look up a card has made it a lot easier. It's instead of bothering remembering to look them up sometimes and getting shit wrong. So I've just been trying to stick to the internet sites just to give me the, like, yeah, see? There's even an errata on spinal embrace, a ruling. Sacrifice is mandatory, so there.
Calvin, what do you usually use to look up cards?
Well, when I'm looking up cards, like anybody that like looks at articles that I've done links for, usually whenever I do the links, I end up sending the links back to Gatherer. And the main reason I do that is because of the same thing Cassidy was talking about with the Oracle text. Because sometimes, if I'm going to use a particular card, like say for instance, Guaphahazid the Profiteer 5 years from now doesn't do what it actually says on it. Gatherer would probably be like the main site that would know exactly what it does because it's directly hooked to the mothership. So if anything, like if any website out there will know what this card does, it would be Gatherer. I mean, granted, like, yes, you do have places like Cockatrice or tappedout.net or something, and they'll probably like update it. But Gatherer has a tendency to be the website that seems to make sure that all the Oracle text were even like the corner case card that they decided to errata for the 28th time because they can't figure out how to make Shadow work is written the way that they want it now.
My boy Gudongs did point out that a lot of the Gatherer links don't work on your phone. Magicards.info links tend to work mobily better than Gatherer links do.
Oh, yeah. Like, I go to school and I work two jobs now. And my favorite thing to do, yeah, well, that's pretty crappy, but my favorite thing to do is procrastinate and just look up magic cards for things I want to build, and magiccards.info is easily the fastest thing I've ever used for that.
So, children at home, if there's a card search tool we didn't mention that you really love, why not tell us at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Do you remember, I forget, we've probably talked about this, but do you remember the old Shaumisei clan book, Cassidy? Did you play Vampire back in the day?
I didn't play it a lot, but I remember things. What was it? Shaumisei?
Yeah, the TZI, you know, the really weird clan.
Oh, yeah.
The cover of the book, they had, like, a, you know, the mouth vagina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember reading that book, come to think of it. I didn't really like Vampire very much. It's much the same that I hate vampires nowadays. They're just dumb and boring.
I like
that. That's because they're trying to fuck your wife. Vampires nowadays are always trying to fuck your wife.
But this was the back cover of a book you would find at like a comic book store.
Like, don't click that link, Louis.
Oh, no. Okay, I do remember that.
Oh, and it even touched the clit notes.
I know.
I don't know if I want to click it.
And that wasn't even, like, on the inside of the book where usually they kept the whack shit. No, this is on the back freaking cover of
it. Yeah. You just flip it over, check it out. That's a Galgamech vagina right there.
I have that book.
You know what? Yeah, I I got a book that the layout on the back kind of looks like that. It's like astronaut zombies, though.
And it doesn't have that on the back.
No. No.
All right, let's...
His clitor is pierced?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. It's a nose/clit ring.
Their big thing is they like to reshape their own bodies. So this guy's like, all right, vagina mouth.
Well, well, well. If it isn't time for Chris's stupid card thing, here on Off Color.
Okay, kids, so I have sort of a... We're going to sneak a stupid card thing in here, and it's not even out yet, but it's so stupidly awesome that we need to talk about it. And this is the Niv-Magus Elemental. It's a hybrid blue-red, because obviously it's an Izzet card. For a 1/2 creature elemental, exile an instant or sorcery spell you control. Put 2 +1/+1 counters on Niv-Magus Elemental. What's really funny is that with all the uncounterable spells they've been spoiling, the quote-unquote control players have been really whining about something that just exiles from the stack. So, hey, look, they gave us something that exiles from the stack, as long as it's your stuff.
Yeah. That was my first thought, really, was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, something gets countered, just pull that shit off the stack. And then the second thought was, Storm.
Yeah, because you just exile the cards you to build up your Storm count. Then you cast your Storm card and exile all the copies to make the biggest dude on Earth. But he doesn't have any evasion, so that's a strike against, because, I mean, 1/1 Sapperlings can stand in front of him all day. And if we know anything about EDH, it says there's 1/1 Sapperlings everywhere.
For days.
For days. Calvin, what did you first think when you saw this card?
The first thing I thought of was, yeah, it's basically the same thing Cassidy was thinking. The other thing I was actually thinking when I first saw it was, like, it's a hybrid blue and a red. So, granted, yes, in EDH, I would have to play it in a blue-red deck. But I was thinking that in a regular deck, I could actually play a mono-red deck and cast this damn thing on turn one without needing the blue. And every time I try to play a Lightning Bolt or a Shock, if it gets countered or doesn't hit what I want it to hit, I can always just, you know, negate it, pump my creature, and swing with a big dude.
Like, later in the game, when your Geist Flames are useless or something, you can just turn them into +1/+1 counters for this guy.
Right.
Hey, Geist Flames never useless.
Because I'm trying to figure out, like, actually, this would be kind of good with Replicate, right? That previous Izzet ability?
Yeah.
Because you can replicate the spells and just eat the other copies if you have the mana for it, right?
Like, if you're doing Shattering Spree and you just, like, tap out for all of it even though you don't need that many Shattering Sprees, and then you're
or
like,
Giga
oh,
draws too.
Yeah, I'll just exile these ones. It's okay.
Yeah, that was actually my first the thought after Storm. Because, like, the Storm was the most obvious because you get free copies of spells. And then there's, like, Wild Ricochet and Chandra Firebrand. You know, you can copy your spells, and I guess that's sort of okay, whatever, right? But, hells yeah, using it on the Replicate would be so awesome. The one thing, too, is a lot of times, like, Wild Ricochet, someone's, like, spell, where you get to copy it and you get to cast it on yourself, but, like, you can't redirect the spell's target, you know, because it just says, like, draw three cards or something like that, like, Harmonize. So in this case, I think you'd still control the Harmonize, even though it doesn't, you know, it doesn't resolve on your side. Is that right?
No.
No? Okay. Never mind. Fuck you, Niv-Magus Elemental.
The copy would belong to you, but the original spell wouldn't.
Right, okay.
So let's say somebody has Kira out, and you know that this, like, your first spell is going to get countered anyway. So you cast, like, your Twiddle, for you people running Twiddle, and then you exile that, and then the next thing you cast should go through, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a sleeper against Kira.
Honestly, I think what I really see him as best at is if you have, like, some utility spell crawned up that you don't need to cast every turn, but if you have 2 mana available, you can at least add 2 more counters to the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, like combining with the Izzet Charm on the Isochron Scepter, and then you have, and now your Isochron Scepter has 4 things it can do for 2 mana.
The best thing I can think of for this guy is, like, say you're playing, like, a Ruhan Voltron deck, and he happens to be in here. Yeah, and you could equip him with Leering Emblem, which is I forget the mana costs on it. I think it's like 2 mana to play, 1 to equip. And every time you cast a spell, he gets +2/+2. So yeah. You play a spell and then eat it, and he'll get +4/+4.
I actually just thought of something else we could do with it, like killing Phantasmal Image, which is one of my least... I hate that fucking creature lately. Target it. It gets targeted. The fucking thing dies. And then you're just like, exile. Good game.
Something else that I was actually thinking about, because I'm still trying to, like, in my mind, I was trying to figure out other ways to work around with this card. The other two cards that I was thinking about combining with this was Precursor Golem and Rite of Replication.
Oh, that way you get extra copies that...
Yeah, but the thing I was thinking... Because like, if you target the Precursor Golem, you get the extra copies, and you get to actually get the other golems and stuff like that. But every time you play something that targets one golem, you have the option to feed any of the extra copies of this thing basically for free. So you kind of get like...
That is amazing.
Because you kind of get like a nice little storm thing going with it without actually having to pay the extra mana for other spells or like replicate or whatever. I have to cast 28 different copies of spell for storm. Because you could basically just play like, you know, Precursor Golem and I don't know, like just say, just for argument's sake, like Giant Growth. You Giant Growth one Precursor Golem and then you feed the other two copies of this thing. So it's automatically getting like plus, this is getting like a permanent +4/+4.
We're just really going to want a way to give this guy Trample, or Flying, or Shadow, or, you know, there's enough things that do all that that I think it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, you got spells that can do that, and if you got a spell that does it and then someone tries to counter it, you can always just say, oh, well, the hell with it and feed it to me.
I think there's really reaching for it, but you could play it with Cowardice. Whenever a creature becomes a target of a spell or ability, return that creature to its owner's hand, and then just exile your spell because it's going to get fizzled anyways.
Actually, I actually built a standard deck out of Precursor Golem and Cackling Counterpart because you end up making 8 golems.
That's so awesome.
I didn't even think of Rite of Replication, though. That really clocks that combo up a notch. I'll have to try that out.
I'm mad when a kicked Rite of Replication doesn't win the game, though.
I'm glad when it doesn't.
Because it's like, come on, man. You got six of those things now? What are you doing here? Come on. Win the damn game. You just spent 9 mana on a spell.
What was it? The card that I remember, like, what was it? The one that came out, just came out, M13. I keep forgetting the damn name. What was it? Aureomancer? Or something? It's a Archaeomancer. Like, it's 2 blue. Return an instance or sorcery from your graveyard back to your hand.
Yeah,
I love playing that with Rite of Replication. Because you can play that, it'll give you the rights back to your hand. You can kick the rights, cast a targeting that. When the rights resolve, you'll get 5 copies of them. But by that time, the rights will be back in your graveyard, and one of the 5 copies can bring rights back to your hand, and the other 4 copies can bring back 4 other instants or sorceries.
I'm just punching you at this point. And especially if you grab a Warp World with one of your other 5 Archaeomancers.
Yeah, but you see, the good thing about it is with this creature, you actually have the option to, you know, just do that, get your rights back, and feed it to that guy. Or you could just make 5 copies, or you could use it to target it, and when the cards come in, you can use it to get Time Warp.
Okay, so, thumbs up or thumbs down, Calvin?
Oh, I've actually got this as a thumbs up. It's red, it's something that I can actually use to beat face with, it makes my lightning bolts always relevant, even if they do get, like, countered. I mean, what more could I possibly want from a one drop, other than, like, you know, maybe a chicken sandwich that's coming to me from Burger King?
Luis, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to say down, just because I don't think it's like incredibly as relevant as it can be in EDH. I'm sure it's going to be amazing in other formats, but in EDH, I can't see myself really using it.
Oh, Luis.
I'm sorry.
Now you know how I feel, Calvin, when you guys shit on all my stuff.
Yeah, but usually your stuff is crap. I mean, this is actually
no,
good.
It's not. It's awesome. I want to buy almost all of the cards he mentions.
Except for maybe Nightshades here.
And Mundungu.
Mundungu's awesome.
Mundungu. Hey, my fans. Thank you.
Cassidy, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, okay. Really? I get the talk? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's actually because you're not going to be quiet.
Yeah, when it comes to the Nib-Magus Elemental, and I, by the way, I hate the name, and because no one brought it up and I meant to earlier, what the fuck is up with this art? Really? Like, he's like a electric Mega Man Firestorm guy.
A little bit.
Like, he's from Tron, but he's got, like, Mega Busters. Like, no, those are even, like, Dreadnought Busters, right? Like, that's what the Dreadnoughts have on their hands in 40K. It's just, like... Oh, I never realized that Ravnica was in the future 40,000 years.
Hey, man, and, it's an all metal. It's got pieces that are held together by magical force.
Yeah, they like combine two elements and throw some rocks in.
Like its creator was like, I really like this game Mega Man, so I'm gonna make an elemental that looks like him.
Well, he's got two hands.
Those aren't hands. Those are Mega Busters.
He's got fingers on them.
I can't see it like hands anymore. They just look like guns now.
Yeah, they all.
He ruined it.
They don't look like guns at
all. So, thumbs up or thumbs down here?
Oh, yes. Besides the art, I like this card, so I'll go ahead and give thumbs up.
Alright, I of course give it a thumbs up, because I give every card a thumbs up. Kids, hey, it's a spoiled card that you've known about for a week. If you've got some thoughts about it or ways to break it, why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Alright, beautiful people, you survived yet another episode of Off Color Cast. This would be episode 28. We loved doing it. We hope you loved hearing it. If you want to talk to me, I guess you could hit me up on Twitter, @ChristianRenault. My avatar is a picture of me in my underwear. Just the crotch part, though. Or email the show, offcolorcast@gmail.com. Me and Calvin look at it. Except, guys from the Four Dudes Who Play Magic podcast, you're not allowed to email us anymore. We are at war. Let's say hello to everybody, goodbye to everybody else. Let's let our guest say goodbye, pimp whatever he wants, and say goodbye, Luis.
Hey, so I'm Luis, and it's been great. If you want to talk to me, you can send me a tweet at Luis Barba. That's LuisBarba. And, you know, I got that on my phone, so I'm always looking for something to do besides work. And that's about it.
Alright, Cassidy, say goodbye to the beautiful children as well.
See you, everyone. Thanks for hanging out for yet another episode. You know, obviously we don't have a season structure anymore because we've been going like fucking mad. And I think next week we're going to have Beardy on from Beardy Plays. So we're having a bunch of guests on, and it's been kind of nice because that segment was barely Audacity. And I'm glad no one brought up that it was in commemoration to 9/11. So.
Damn it. We've been going so well, too.
I thought we were going to avoid that.
Well, I mean, now if they get mad, they're just like shut off the last 2 seconds, right? Too late, you enjoyed it.
You son of a bitch! You're making completely miss my entire outro because you decided you were going to play something.
Well, you have it written down. You say the same thing every week.
It's true.
Besides that, check out the articles on TCG Player. I'm @WriterOfWrong on the Twitter. I haven't really checked Facebook very much lately, but you can Facebook me there. I don't give a shit. Also, just because I wanted to mention it, we also have two writers on the show. On site. Huh?
Who keeps doing this?
I don't know. They just keep coming to us. I was talking to Andy about it in an email. I'm like, people want to write for us. Who knew? But They're both beard theme decks this week.
Yeah, they're both doing beard theme decks.
And I think it's because of beard. Yeah, it's
technically it's both beard theme decks last week.
Yeah, because this will come out Wednesday.
Well, yeah, but I mean they're one.
There were where there are two
past tense.
Oh, whatever.
Poopard has a beard deck coming too.
Yeah, I guess Beardy really had an influence on them because they're both subliminally talking about that. And actually, Jason's article was really, really good. Anyways, I enjoyed it, and John's was also very entertaining. I liked them both. I highly recommend you read them, and I edit them. So, yeah, whatever that means.
All right. Calvin, bring us on home.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin. It's Captain Redzone around the internet. If you're looking for me, you can always find me on Twitter @CaptainRedZone. I'm on Gmail, CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. We've got the Facebook group, Off Color Cast on Facebook. We've also got the website, offcolorcast.com. You can email us at offcolorcast@gmail.com. We check all the emails. We check all the comments. Constantly blowing around, searching for things. I'm not really that difficult to find. If you're really looking for me, you know where you're going to get me at. And if you really feel like actually going back and reading anything that I've done previously prior to this podcast, you can go to treetothefaith.com.
All right. Awesome. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Testicles.
Bye. So I think I might actually go to GP Philly next month.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Is that modern?
No, it's sealed. That's why I'm going. Because okay. I don't have to buy a deck.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
So I'm gonna bring my EDH decks and just troll the living daylights out of people that haven't seen how poorly I play. And of course, I ordered a hot pink Commander Cast shirt to wear down there.
Oh, you got the hot pink Commander
Cast. Oh yeah, the hot pink one. And then that way people will think I'm Andy.
Hey, Christian, are you still doing push-ups for every shirt that gets sold?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm gonna, I want to stream it and then just put it up on YouTube later, but it's gonna be rough.
You should make it look like a GIF. Even if you do all the push-ups, you should cut it so that it just looks like you're doing it.
It's just the same thing repeated.
Yeah. It's bad because I've only been going to the gym once a week lately, so it might be pretty rough. I might need to take some breaks.
Okay, that seems like a real, what's the word? Hyperbola? Yeah? Hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
Once a week? Really? More like once in the last decade?
Mysteriously, well, you see, since I'm white, my legs are very strong, so I like to do, vanity exercises like the calf press. Because I've also walked on my toes my entire life, so my calves are really awesome.
I used to do that, too.
Yeah.
Man, wow.
Tile's cold.
But, what was I don't think I have anything pertinent to say, really.
I've also walked...
Zero.
It just sounds like something some weird dude would say to you. Yeah. Why are you walking like that? I've walked this my entire life. Okay, fine. I'm sorry I asked.
It's not as bad as it used to be because my Achilles tendons were too tight, so my heels just wouldn't touch the ground when I was a kid.
Oh,
and then I got them operated on, so my heels can touch the floor, but then I never did any of the stretching or shit that I was supposed to, so if I'm not paying attention, they usually don't.
Like a fucking velociraptor and shit. Nice.
This is a pretty good episode. So, yeah, thanks for being on, Luis.
Yeah, no problem. It was
time.
Pretty
really
cool for the first time.
Yeah, good times. Thanks for coming on.